I'm not going to share anything about my testimony so my family can breathe easy today. For one, I just didn't feel released to share anything yet in our life and what's been going in our life the last 8 years. I did share a little bit with Tanya and Dylan today. You know, the last 8 years have definitely been a whirlwind, but a good whirlwind. It's been challenging. It's also been uplifting, and being here with you guys has been such a privilege, and getting to know each and every one of y'all, it's been great. But I certainly have enjoyed these testimonies, and I know you have as well. And you know, when the Lord meets our needs, what a relief that it is when it manifests, isn't it? Isn't it a great relief when the Lord just answers our prayers? Maybe just a couple. I don't know. I don't know. Y'all are awful quiet tonight. But I was thinking about this today. There is a relief when our needs are met. You ever had a need met and you just the load's lifted, right? Been there before. But really, what the Lord began to minister to me the last few days is that there certainly is rest and relief when the storm is over, but I also believe this, that we can find rest in the middle of the storm. Yes. We can find rest in the middle of the storm, and we're gonna read a passage on that. And with Jesus, Dylan, we were talking yesterday, and he made this statement, you know, when we're talking about being at peace and at rest, with Jesus, we're already there. You know, we say, we look at end result, but with Jesus, if we're in Him, even if what we desire or what we need hasn't manifested yet, if we're with Him, we've already won. We've already won, and we're already at rest. And the good news is this, that if you aren't there, with God's help, we can get there. Amen. Peace and rest is the victory. You know, even when I thought of this as an example, and we'll get to some scripture here in just a little bit. Even when you are dealing with materialistic matters, I'm just going to read this off here, if you don't mind. There are some that feel that if they gain a lot of things, then they can relax and be satisfied. And even a minimalist mindset thinks that if they get rid of everything, minus basic necessities, that they will finally be able to relax and be at rest in their mind. And I thought to myself, you know, what I notice in their pursuit of much, or in their pursuit of little, the end result that they are looking for is rest in their mind, is what they're looking for. I like what Paul wrote in his epistle to the Philippians. He said that he knew what it was to have a lot, and he knew what it was to have a little. But whatever state he was at that moment, he was content. And I thought, you know, he also wrote to Timothy, he said godliness with contentment was great wealth in itself. And I'm not trying to get you to live in poverty. I'm not talking about taking a vow of poverty. I'm not talking about living without. I'm talking about wherever you find yourself. Has anybody ever been in a place where you had a lot? Anybody ever had a place where they didn't have a lot? But you know, no matter where we find ourselves, we can be content. If we're in Him, we can be content. I liked what he said in the next verse following that. He said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I remember when I was a kid, the very first time that I memorized that verse, it was a young boy shooting a free throw, and he was saying with God, I can do all things through Christ to strengthen me. Well, I'm not talking about shooting free throws tonight. I'm talking about when we face life and we face difficulties, no matter where we find ourselves, we can be at rest if we're in Him. And I understand that people face some difficult matters. So I want to be very careful and considerate, because a lot of people have shared testimonies this week, and they've had to exercise great faith, and they've been at places I've never been before. So I want to be very considerate when I make these statements. But if the Lord can bring us up higher, let's go higher. Let's just don't stay where we are. I know that life may throw us some difficult things, Kyle, from time to time. And they may be hard, and I want to be considerate of everyone, But like I said, what the Holy Spirit was really revealing to me today is if we can go up higher, let's go higher. Let's challenge ourselves to move up. And I just want to encourage you today, because I've always felt, if you just get me through this and get me to the end result, then I can relax and then I can have peace in my life. And I love when the Lord challenges me and when he says, you know what, you don't have to wait till then. You don't have to wait till then. You can live it right now. That may be hard to do, but that's why I want to talk about in Hot Pursuit is what I'm going to title this tonight, Hot Pursuit of Peace. At first, I just titled it Pursuit of Peace, but I thought, you know, when the police are after someone, they're in hot pursuit. And we're talking a lot about policemen tonight. Is we're in hot pursuit. That means they got a focus. They have a focus and they are looking for a specific something or someone. And I believe today when we are talking about the subject of living out our faith, part of that is not just being in pursuit, but being in hot pursuit of peace and rest in our life. In Psalms 34, verses 13 through 14, and also want to say this as you're turning there, if you have a device, I'm in the King James Version. I did some notes again on the QR code. I say I did it. I sent them to Tanya, and she might have sent them to Charlotte. I don't know, but they're on a QR code back there. You know, I just do it, and it just magically appears, you know. They're on the website, sorry. On the website. They're on both. Are you confused? Okay. They're on the website and the QR code, right? And there are some scriptures there on peace that you can keep with you. I said something the last time I spoke that, and I was talking about, somebody I know very well, let me say that. And sometimes when they get in a tight spot, the obvious is sometimes slip their mind. And I thought, I'm going to have to laminate you some instructions on what to do when you get in a jam. But, you know, having God's word with us all the time and laminated in our hearts, and some, even if you got to have it in front of you, even if you have to write it down on paper and keep it in your pocket so when you're facing a difficult time, you can pull that out and look at God's word rather than relying on the way you feel. I don't like relying on the way I feel sometimes, do you? David wrote this. He said, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Doesn't sound like just peace just comes to you. Or you just trip over it and find it one day. You're going to have to be in hot pursuit. 1 Peter 3, verses 10 through 11. It says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Here we go again, almost quoting the same thing. Let him eschew evil, or let him avoid it and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. Ensuing meaning pursue. Pursue, and I want to talk about this pursuing peace. And it's hard for me to write the word peace without in parentheses there putting rest. Maybe even going so far as using the word relaxation. It helps us understand it better. You know, it's like, you ever just been at such a relaxing place in your life that you're sitting and you're not even thinking about anything? Anybody ever been there before? Where you're just not thinking about nothing. And I know for a lot of women, they look at men and they say, how do you do that? Just think about nothing. Well, it's glorious. It's wonderful to be able to not think about anything. And I'm using that as a joke, but I believe there is a place and a rest in God. We're going to get to this later in the Word, or in the Word for tonight, that there is a place of rest for the people of God. There is a place of rest. And matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews said, if you're going to labor, labor to enter into that rest. So the labor that we put out in life is not so much about gaining things or letting go of things or whether the healing manifests when we want it to, or whether what we need or desire manifests when we want to, the pursuit we need to be after is peace and rest in our heart. Tanya mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and she made this statement. I don't know if she even realized it or not, but some of the things that we go through, they're just seasons. But when you're going through the middle of a problem or a trial, and you are looking at that, it seems like that's the way life is always going to be. Anybody ever been there before? Where you just feel like this is life. But when we step back and look at things according to the Word of God, we realize this is just a small moment in time. We have to stop becoming earthly beings, and we got to start becoming eternal beings and realizing this life is not the only life. And we can take some rest and comfort in that. But really, the fruit of faith, when we're talking about living out our faith, the fruit of faith is rest. Let that sink in for a minute. If you want to know if you're in faith or not, you've got to ask this question, am I at rest? That's coming up higher. We're coming up higher. And Travis, there's some things when I minister, I've got to minister by the grace of God. Because I want to go ahead and be open before you today. There are some areas in my life that I walk in rest. And there are some areas in my life that I need to get in rest in those areas. And what we're going to find when we talk about in hot pursuit of rest and a hot pursuit of peace, there are some things that we can do that's going to help us pursue and find peace and rest in our life. And when I talk about being open, it's not so that we can be negative. It's just so that we can admit where we are so we can get to where we desire to be. Because faith is not lying to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. One of the very first things that you can do in pursuit of peace and rest in your life is do not lie to yourself, because faith is not lying. We use the example a lot of times around here about if your leg is broke, faith is not saying, my leg is not broke. That's called lying. But a faith statement that is at rest says this, my leg is broke, but by his stripes I'm healed, and I'm believing for a speedy recovery. It's not lying to yourself. And I liked what in 2 Timothy 1, Paul began to write to Timothy, and he said in verse 3, he said, I thank God whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee. Here he is. He said, being mindful of thy tears. So there's some things here in Timothy's life that he's not in rest over. He said, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother, this is the Hick, Arkansas way of pronouncing this, oh, Eunice. And I'm persuaded that's in thee also. But if you notice here, he used the word unfeigned. That word unfeigned, I'm going to spell this in the Greek just so you know I looked it up and I did my due diligence. A-N-U-P-O-K-R-I-T-O-S. Now, I am not going to try to pronounce that. You can do that later. But the word unfeigned means this, without hypocrisy or not pretending. So he said, when I call to remembrance the unpretending faith that is in thee. You see, real faith is not pretending. And it is not anti-faith to admit you don't have faith in a certain area. Pretending to have faith in an area that you don't have faith is actually anti-faith. Because when you are pretending to be in an area you aren't, when you're pretending to be in faith in an area and you're not, that's called pretending. And let me tell you, when we are having to pretend so that we can save face in front of our faith friends, that's out of a spirit of pride. There have been times in my life because of the position that I'm in here on staff that I have felt the need to pretend that my faith was in a certain area when it was not there, because I thought, well, here I am in this position and leadership, and I'm still lacking in this area. Well, if I pretend to be in faith in that area, that's called being a hypocrite. And I had to take this stance. I'm not going to pretend to be in an area just so I don't lose face in front of faith people, because that's out of nothing more than the spirit of pride. In James 4 and 6, the word says that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, a true humble spirit doesn't sit around in false humility, always down and always talking negative. A true humble spirit will say, Lord, I do believe, but help the part of me that's struggling in this area. That is faith that is not pretending. That's not living in the woe is me all the time, but it's admitting, I'm not here yet, but Lord, I believe I can get there if I'm honest with you. A lot of times in our prayer time, I've caught myself trying to hide my true feelings from God, trying to talk faith in front of God, like he don't know where I'm at, right? Correcting myself. But you know what? If you're going to talk about where you are in reality, that doesn't mean getting on a platform or getting on social media and talking about all your problems and praising the devil for what he's doing in your life. But what I am trying to say is, when you get in the presence of God, you can get real with him. You can tell him where you are, and not just so you can talk negative, but saying, Lord, bring me up higher into this area so that I can walk in the faith that I desire to walk in, because I'm not going to pretend. I'm going to be in hot pursuit of rest in my life, and I'm not going to pretend like I'm there. I'm going to go ahead and admit where I'm at so that I can get to where I desire to be. We could say, there's a lot of times where I've asked the Lord, I know I can rest in every situation, but show me how. You know, it's a narcissistic attitude that doesn't want to admit they don't know and pretend that they do. You know, the consensus is you can rest after the situation's over. We've covered that. But Jesus gave us an example of sleeping in the middle of a storm. In Matthew chapter 8, and you can write this down and look at it later. And let's go ahead and go there. Are you getting anything out of this tonight?
Yes.
All right. I believe you are. Because I don't believe the Lord dealt with me all day to come in here and it fall on deaf ears. I like what Paul said. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that the word that he give us tonight is for us. I want you to notice here in verse 18. It says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. So if Jesus says we're going to the other side, where are we going? We're going to the other side. Let's skip on down to verse 23. And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But look at this, he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. You could almost see maybe a sense there of them saying, what are we going to do? The waves are coming over the boat. Think about this. The waves are coming over the boat. The disciples, let me try to paint this as clear as I can. The disciples are looking at the waves and they're saying, we're going to die. And you look down and Jesus is asleep in the boat. We're not talking about just a little bit of rough waters. They're looking at it saying, we're going to die. What are we going to do? How can you be asleep when all this is happening? And Jesus said, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And I can assure you today, the reason that he did that in front of them was not to show off his faith. It was to let them know you can get up higher. You can come up higher. You don't always have. I want to go ahead and give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm thankful that we have this account written down, because sometimes when we read this, we're like, "Oh, them faithless disciples." I'm going to tell you, I want to go ahead and be honest with you. I'd have probably been right there with them. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the disciples begin to ask that. What are we going to do? You know, and these are the questions that get us out of rest. What are we going to do? Jesus was very clear in Matthew chapter 6 that these are questions that unbelievers ask. How are we going to be clothed? Where's the next meal going to come from? How are we going to be filled? Jesus said this, all these things do the Gentiles seek. He was referring to unbelievers. But he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's going to go against every natural feeling you have. It's going to go against every natural feeling that you have. But we're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. And I want to go ahead and assure you tonight that there is, if you've walked in faith or you've never tried to step out in faith before, I want to assure you today that there's going to be the first time that you're going to have to look trouble right in the eyeballs and say, I'm not quitting. I refuse to quit. I'm not much of a horse rider. I've rode very few. I watched my sister get drugged by a horse. And I'm going to say, when she got drugged by a horse, she got slung up against barbed wire fences. She got drugged down gravel roads. I thought, she's dead. And fortunately, her tennis shoe finally slipped off and come out of the stirrup. And I thought, that's not for me. That was enough for me. But I've gotten on a few since then. But I've noticed this. If you ever fall off of a horse, this is the mindset in people. Let me say this quickly. If I fail, I have to start over. Well, if you fall off a horse, do you have to go all the way back to the corral? What do? You get back on where you're at. So I want to assure you today, don't be afraid to step out in faith and pursue those things. Because if you fall off the horse, all you have to do is get back on. But the enemy puts thoughts in your mind that if you quit, you got to start all over again. Well, faith is about falling down and getting up. Falling down and getting up. What's the Bible say? That a righteous man may fall 7 times and he'll get back up. It doesn't say he'll stay down. I want to encourage you today, don't be afraid to stare your problems in the face and say, I'm not quitting. And people say, I don't care what you're going through. I do care what you're going through. I want to take careful consideration in the things that you're dealing with. But like I said so many times, and I want to get this in your heart, not in your head, the Lord is calling us up higher. He's calling us up higher, especially in these last days and these perilous times are coming. And I believe a lot of those are already here. We're going to have to be willing to say, Father, I'm not going to trust in what I see. I'm not going to trust in what I feel. I'm not going to trust in my emotions. I'm not even going to trust in who I was yesterday. And I'm not going to even try to think about what I'm going to be tomorrow. Because Jesus said these are things that unbelievers do. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. He also said in the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. If the Lord has supplied for you today, we just need to be lifting our hands in the air and say, thank you, Father. Not be thinking about tomorrow, even the master. Jesus said this, why do you call me Lord and not do what I say? If the Lord of our life is saying, don't worry about tomorrow, what should we? Should we worry about tomorrow? No. Now, have I worried about tomorrow? Yes. But when I catch myself doing that, I don't have a pity party. And if I have the pity party, I quit having the pity party and I get back up and I move on. We got to have some staying power. So don't think that you got to pretend. You don't have to play faith. You don't have to pretend. You can admit where you are so you can get up higher. One of the second ways that we can pursue peace is becoming a person of prayer. In Luke 18 and 1, Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, when I was younger, I used to look at that and I would think, man, you got to pray all the time? You know, when are you going to go to work? Or when are you going to do family things and regular things in life? But obviously, we know that's not what he's talking about there. But I noticed that in Daniel 6 and 10, the Bible says that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. And it wasn't so he could get a gold star on his Sunday school chart. Did anybody ever get those? You know, I read my Bible and memorized my verse and came to church and I get a gold star on my name. And if you're lucky, you get a sucker or something at the end. Maybe we ought to start doing that again. But, you know, don't you know that the situations that Daniel faced and the position that was in, that he was in, that he needed a lot of guidance and direction? Don't you believe that? But when Jesus said men ought to always pray, what did he mean? Well, it's impossible to spend every waking minute in your prayer closet. But as I prayed about this passage, whenever the Lord gave me this thought on becoming a person of prayer, your prayer closet is not so much a location. In living out your faith, it will have to be all-encompassing in your life. What I mean by that is a person of prayer is not somebody that just enters their prayer closet all the time, but wherever they're at, they find themselves communicating, being in communion. Sometimes that communion is just knowing you're in His presence. I've shared this before. I've been walking through Walmart and talking to the Lord before I realized what I was doing. I wasn't trying to show out or anything like that. It was just so natural, really, to talk to Him. And I'm just saying that's how much it, I'm not trying to pump up my heels when I say that. I'm just saying we need to let the Lord transcend every part of our life like that. It needs to come in every crevice of our life. Our prayer life needs to be so encompassing our life that it goes into our relationships, amen, into our marriages, into our relationship with our children, at our work, amen, in our finances, and in everything that we do. And it's about becoming a person of prayer. And I found this, the more I become a person of prayer, it becomes like this, it's an addiction. That's the best way I know how to describe it. That I long to be in His presence, that I'm always looking for excuses to get away with Him. Because when I'm in His presence, He said this, there's fullness of joy, and at His right hand there's pleasures forevermore. And when I'm in His presence and I can feel total peace and rest, and I look down at my watch and I was in the middle of town this morning at 5:51, and I was talking to the Lord and I was having a great conversation with Him. And I thought, Lord, I've lost track of time. I've even lost track of where I was. Not because I'm going crazy, but when you get it with Him, it just, you forget where you are. And it reminds me when Moses was on Mount Sinai and he was in the presence of the Lord, and the glory just lit his face up, that when he came down that they had to put a veil over his face because they couldn't even stand to look upon his face because the glory of the Lord was shining so great upon him. And I'm not trying to compare myself to that, but one thing I noticed is, you know, when Moses came off that mountain and he had to walk into, we got kids in here, he had to walk into all kinds of mess. Don't you know, it's like, why did I have to come off the presence of the Lord and deal with all this stupid stuff? Have you ever been there before? And ignorance, dealing with ignorance. And I'm not talking about stupidity. I'm not talking about somebody being stupid. I'm talking about, when I say ignorance, I'm talking about just no spiritual mindset, no spiritual attitude, being hit with all kinds of silly stuff. Imagine there's golden calves. Y'all know where I'm going. And all the excuse that Aaron could say was, I threw this gold in the fire and out come this calf. Imagine coming out of the presence of the Lord and having to hear somebody say that. What? Like, Lord, do I have to come out of your presence to deal with this stuff? I can guarantee you he was like, I'm going back. But you know, he ground it to powder and he said, you're going to drink it. You're going to drink it. But what I want the focus on to be is this. There's just something about when you're lost in the presence of the Lord and you begin to feel that peace come over your life. And I know we have to come down and we have to deal with things we don't want to have to deal with. But you know what? I love that we're like, I've got some time to pray. Not out of religious, traditional mindsets, just when we are the pursuit of peace calling us into becoming a person of prayer is saying, I can go in here and I can get my batteries recharged. I can get that rest built back up inside of my spirit. I can get that peace that passes all understanding built back up on the inside of me so I can have to get back out here and deal with this silly stuff. You can say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad you said amen. Doesn't need to be a location. It needs to encompass all of our life. John 15:7, he said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, and you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The key word here is abide. We all like to ask him what we will, and it be done for us. But the key here is abiding. Abiding in him and his word abiding in you. Psalms 91:1-2, we like to quote all the promises in Psalms 91, but the key to all this is in verses 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The abiding is the key. The word abide there means to stay permanently, to lodge or to remain. And I know we have to get in the world and deal with things. I understand that. But also I want you to understand this, that no matter what you're doing, you can be abiding in his presence. You say, that sounds hard to do. It very well may be. But we need to come up higher. We need to quit making excuses. We got to come up higher and quit making those excuses and why this didn't happen or why that isn't happening. And we need to understand that the reason that God's asking us to abide is because ultimately in his presence there's peace and there's joy. And I believe that's how we fight and I believe that's how we win. Philippians 4 verses 6 through 7, he said to be careful or anxious about nothing, but in everything by what? Say it like you mean it. By what? Supplication, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. He said, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens then? Here comes the peace of God. So when I'm in tough situations and I'm not trying to lie about where I am so I can come up higher and I become a person of prayer, that means this, when I begin to let my needs be known unto God and let him know I need help in this area, being thankful for all the things that he's done for me already, he said this peace is on the way. And he also said this, it's going to pass all understanding and it's going to keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. I did a lot of defining on these words and it basically says this, and I'm going to call this the JIV version. This is the John International Version. When you pray with a thankful attitude, the peace of God that goes beyond human intellect will protect your thoughts and feelings. That's what you battle with anyways, isn't it? Thoughts, feelings. Where does the enemy start? In your mind. That's why Paul wrote in Romans to renew your mind. It wasn't because he had 12 chapters he needed to write and needed to fill in. It was because you got to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind. I want to tell you today, this is great news. You're not going to want to do that. It's going to go against your natural person. But when you're in hot pursuit of peace, you're not going to let the speed bump slow you down. But you can do it. You can do it. Amen. Number three and the final one, and for y'all don't know, you get three closings, right? We're all there. We'll finally get it. This is the one thing that this really came to me late this afternoon. One of the ways to stay in hot pursuit of peace is don't fall into the temptation of comparison. I believe this, that comparison will rob you of your rest, and it will rob you of your peace quicker than anything. And we see this a lot, and I'm like everybody else. I know what social media really is, but I'm like everyone else. I've stuck my head in the sand on it and still, you know, I still, you know, expose myself to it. And the problem with a lot of that is you begin to look and you say, I'm not going to let that doesn't bother me. But when you see what you're seeing, we can't pretend that what we are seeing and exposing ourselves to is not affecting us. And there are times when we see what other people have and where they're at or what they're doing and all these things, and we think, I'm following woefully behind here. And then you usually get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. I'm using this as an example. Because you're looking, they're on vacation, they're on the beach, they're overseas, they're driving the brand new vehicle, they're living in the brand new house, they're wearing the designer clothes. I don't know what designer clothes are popular now. I try to mix and match so much y'all don't notice I wear the same things over and over because I hate shopping with a passion. And we begin to look at those things and we begin to compare our lives and we think, if I was there, then I've arrived and I could relax, or I would feel like I've arrived, or you know, I've reached the pinnacle, or all these things. And we all understand that when we're looking at pictures, we don't see what's behind the closed doors. And I'm not wishing, they may very well be wealthy and rich and fine, and that I hope they are, and praise God if they are. I'm not downing them. But I'm saying also, we have no idea where they are. And you know what? When you're looking around, in 2 Corinthians 10 and 12, Paul said, when you start diving into comparison, you're getting outside of wisdom. I'm using that for examples because, you know, sometimes when we hear these great testimonies that we've heard, and I thank God for them, there's sometimes we can get in condemnation because when we look at where we are, look at where others are in their faith journey, we feel like we're woefully behind. When you see people talk about the great things that they've overcame, and sometimes when you are looking at where you are and it seems like what you desire just isn't happening, and you begin to get in condemnation because things aren't happening for you. Well, the reason that he's saying don't look around is because he's always encouraged us to keep our eyes and our focus on him. And if you keep your eyes and focus on him, and you do all these things that we've talked about tonight, you don't have to wait for the manifestation. You're already at rest. Right. Is that not the end result that you're looking for? If I get healed, then I can relax. And there's some honest truth to that. But sometimes it's not just relaxing your body, it's relaxing in your mind. If I was able to get this need met, then I could calm down. I wouldn't have to go home and have a fall apart. Or I wouldn't have to, and I understand there's times for medication, but understand this, sometimes medication's not the complete answer. I mean, it can put you in a comatose state, but you ain't relaxing. Your body can still be tensed and tight. You ever drove home and realize you get about halfway there, it's like, why am I gripping the steering wheel so tight? Like, it's not, I mean, why am I got the death grip on this thing? It's because you're tense. Relax. We need to relax. But understand this, that there's just sometimes we can, and what I'm trying to say is this, there are sometimes we can be tense and not even realize we're tense. And you can try to offset it with those things, and I understand there's a time for everything. I get it. But there is a place of rest on the inside that you can lay down, and there is sweet sleep. Doesn't mean that all the problems are gone. It doesn't mean all the situations are gone. It just means this, where Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And I can know that. Let's go to Hebrews 4, my second closing. I noticed this. Let's do some highlighted verse. I wanted to read this whole thing, but for I know y'all are in a hurry. Let's go to verse 9. He said, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And I love verse 10. It says, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor. You say, well, he just said to rest. No, if you're going to labor, he said, there, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. If you're going to put any effort out at all, we need to put an effort out into saying, Lord, show me that rest. Show me that rest, and I'm going to find that rest. And I'm not going to rest until I find that rest. I'm going to be in hot pursuit. Because the Bible says, it said to seek peace. That means you are earnestly looking for it. It's like the parable about the pearl of great price, and I'm going to take some liberties here, but it says when the man finds that field, he sells all that he has to go and purchase that field. I want to encourage you today to leave everything that you think you know about rest and peace and leave it behind so that you can go down that road and find true peace in your life. Verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Don't lie to yourself. Go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need help. There's nothing wrong with that. Jesus said this, if we ask anything in his name, he would do it. Amen. Well, that's what we have for tonight. I hope you received something from that.